Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. My name is Richard. This is the Bible Brothers and Beer podcast. And tonight we also have Caleb's, our usual, and Jeff. And we also have a special guest here tonight. So I'll let him introduce himself.
Good evening, fellas. Great seeing all my brothers here tonight from Bibles, Brothers, and Beer. My name is Glenn, and I am one of the originators, along with my friend Dave, that started the men's group that has been 6 years and going right now on Tuesday nights. We do that up at a little local brewery here in Thornton, Colorado. Shout out to Satire Brewing Company. Todd and Stacy Waffle that own that do a great job up there. Very beautiful host, been just a real blessing to us, followers of Christ, and they've just really treated us well. But thanks for inviting me tonight. Looking forward to some of the discussion topics, as always. The four of us have spent quite a bit of time together in groups on Tuesday nights, and it's been a pleasure to getting to know you guys. I don't know anybody out there who listens to this or has been to our group knows that Richard has led our group for about the past 4.5 years, once Dave passed that over to him. And just recently he has passed the reins on to Caleb and Jeff, and we feel the group is in really good hands. So we're very excited Absolutely. About that, and just really looking forward to what God has in store for us with this group moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Glenn. Yeah.
You did your intro on the one that we had to cut, your standard shtick intro. I love that every time. What you got to do that.
Yeah. From what they tell me. Yeah.
You're still Glenn.
Yeah, I'm still Glenn. From what they tell me, I'm still Glenn. And I haven't been losing any weight, and I can't figure out why.
Yeah, but as you take a drink of beer.
So great.
I just need to pick a beer that has less than 1 million calories would be delightful.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I guess.
Hopefully soon we'll do some video, so we the folks out there can see what we're drinking versus us explaining it. But
some of us have podcast faces though.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Why are you looking at me?
He was looking at me first. So thank you, Glenn. Glad to have you on.
Thanks.
Also glad to have Caleb and Jeff here. And so the subject tonight that's around the Bible I want to talk about is prayer. So we all do it. We do it multiple times a day. I know I do. I pray all the time. And, it's something that I don't think it gets enough credit. You know, people say when you talk to someone and you're, having trouble with something or whatever, and they ask you to pray for them, right? Is it something like, yeah, I'll say a prayer for you. No problem. Right. And you would hope that, it's something that is, that's really connected to their emotions, right? So that it's meaningful. I mean, I'm sure it happens a whole lot. I know when someone asks me to pray for them, I'll stop immediately and I will say a prayer in my head for them because, it's important. And then as I go throughout my day and say my prayers, I'll throw something in there. I'll say another prayer for them, whatever that may look like. Whether it's a 10-second thing or a 5-minute thing, or the power of prayers is—I don't think people realize how strong prayer is. We hear it all the time at group, where a man will ask for a prayer, come back next week, and they will tell us, "I felt your prayers because my prayers were answered, or it's moving in the right direction, whatever the situation is." So. It's pretty valuable, and it's all over the Bible too, right? As far as praying, I mean, Jesus went up, alone on a hill to pray for a long time, right? A really long time. So, I don't know. What's your thoughts on prayer, and how does it, if someone asks you for prayer, what What do you do? What's your steps? How does that impact you?
You know, one of the things that I look at there that always really impresses me is when you come across somebody who you may be sharing something that you're struggling with in your life, and they will say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And you're thinking, "Well, yeah, go ahead this week, pray for me." And they're like, "No, I mean, can I pray for you right now?" And that's something I struggle with, where, and I don't know exactly what it is that holds me back, but I think sharing prayer with somebody immediately upon them asking, and we've seen it happen in group. We've stopped group in mid-stride and openly prayed for a man in that group. And I think those type of prayers really go a long ways, you know?
Yeah, I guess one of the things I was thinking about on the subject was, I think there are a lot of people out there that don't understand the power of prayer. So I think there are a lot of people that do it frequently or benefit from it. I guess, what would you say to someone who doesn't necessarily believe or has felt the power of prayer?
You know, I think that the majority of people that have never really engaged in that always have the underlying question of if they believe that there's a God, or even if they believe there may be a God, if God already knows our prayers, why do we bother praying to him? And I think one of the things that a lot of unbelievers and believers also miss out on is the fact that you're not coming to God with a laundry list of things that you need him to fulfill for you. Your objective in prayer should be, in order for you to seek his will for your life, in order for you to line up what his desires and his glory is for you in your life. And I think when we start approaching prayer through that lens, you know, our prayer life takes a very different, a different approach. It really does, you know. And, you know, I've been involved in another ministry. Shout out to BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, out there. If any of my brothers are listening, miss you guys, love you guys. And we spend a lot of time in prayer at BSF. And BSF has a protocol, but kind of a rhythm to the way that they pray at BSF. And first off, when we do the leaders' meetings on Saturday mornings, BSF, we pray on our knees. And that is the first time in my life, when I first started BSF 10 years ago, that I actually ever prayed on my knees. And I came to find that the closer my face got to the ground, the clearer I saw God, you know? And in our prayer rhythm there at BSF, we would start by just recognizing God's attributes, you know, going through and just trying to wrap your mind around the attributes that God really is. He's holy, he's just, he's gracious, he's forgiving, he's kind, he's merciful, he's, you know, all these attributes, and the list goes on and on. I mean, the attributes of God are absolutely amazing. And then you would go into the second phase of it, which would be your thanksgiving. And we would go through and we pray to God for what we're thankful for. You know, thank you for family, thank you for friends, thank you for your mercy, you know, and even those attributes bleed over into the thankfulness, you know. One of the things I find myself thanking God for is his corrective discipline. And that's a hard one to pray sometimes, you know, and I usually follow it up with, you know, thank you for your corrective discipline. Please make me receptive to it before it hurts too much, right? You know, you know, and open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart before it has to be painful, you know, to get my attention. But if that's what it takes, I'm open to that too. Yeah. But after we go through our thanksgiving, then we come to God with our petitions. And, you know, and it seems like by the time you recognize God's holiness and his attributes and you go through what you're thankful for, there's not much left to really ask for in your petitions. You know, you're asking for, you know, continued protection and love and growth in your faith and stuff like that. But, you know, your petitions, they become less about you, I think, and more about other people. And right. I think the more that you involve yourself in prayer, the more you find yourself, you know, drawn towards praying for other people and less about yourself and more about others, you know?
That's, yeah. No, I know that all too well. And that's like you, it's, I mean, it's, we're about 10, 15 minutes on our knees praying at BSF, you know, before we begin, you know, and it's something that is, you know, I don't, and really that's the only time I get down and pray like that. You know, at when I'm at home or anywhere else or driving, I'll just turn the radio off, or at, when I'm at home, it's just a quiet time. I'll mute the TV, right, and then pray. So, but now that's something that is, yeah, power of prayer, I tell you. So I pulled up a verse, and I want to read it to you guys. It's Philippians 4:6, and it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So, it's all over the Bible too, right? Like, and Jesus says in there, let me know through prayer what you want, and you'll receive it, right? I think, but the only thing is, like, I believe that you have to be, like 110%, you know, believing and faithful. So even if you're far away, like from God, or if you're just getting back into it, or whatever the case is in your spiritual life, you know, any type of prayer, God's going to hear you on that. But you're right. When it comes to praying, I find myself praying for others first, right? So because we want the best for everyone, we want everyone to be safe. We want everyone to, you know, look to God to help them in whatever situation they're in. So,
yeah, I mean, I love that. I think, you know, a couple of things I've been thinking about and would love Glenn and others' opinion on this is, you know, I think oftentimes people don't know where to start with praying, right? I think those who pray often and have seen the power of prayer are probably more experienced in speaking with God, and others don't know where to start and therefore never start. And so love this idea of, you know, focusing on asking for other people. And I was doing a little bit of reading, and it was talking about how we, you know, intercede, or the Holy Spirit intercedes. It actually was, when I saw the word, brought back a memory of my dad, who passed away, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago. He was a minister, and he and his friend, every single time I would see them text or call each other or see each other, they'd always say interceding, right? Mm. And I think they were speaking about two different things, and obviously through prayer. The first was that they were hopefully interceding for each other through prayer. They were praying for each other, but then also this idea of Jesus interceding and kind of on our behalf to the Father. So I guess Glenn or others, as you think about where to start, if you haven't started praying or you're not comfortable with praying, what are some of the suggestions you have for listeners?
Well, I would have to say to just have an open dialogue. My prayers anymore are not full of fancy words and, you know, all this stuff that feels like I'm trying to fill in the gaps with something that is spiritual. It's more like an open conversation, you know, and I know we're going to talk about fellowship a little bit later in the group, you know, for that we have on Tuesday nights. But, you know, one of our goals with that group when we started it was to bring up leaders in the community, in the church, in the family.
Right.
That was really like the mainstay of it. And one of the ways that we would do that is, and we all do this, and you guys will be doing this also, is we call on others to open us or close us in prayer at group.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you can tell that you're causing these guys to step out of their comfort zone a little bit, you know. And I've had guys say, you know, man, don't call on me for that. And I said, you know what, brother? If you're going to continue to be a Christian and you're going to continue to claim it, the day's coming when somebody's going to call on you. And this is the place to practice it. because you're going to be at a wedding or you're going to be at a funeral and someone's going to say, hey, Jeff, you're a Christian. Why don't you go ahead and say the prayer for everybody? And man, if you ain't prayed up by then, you know, then you might be in a tough spot. But, you know, the best way to start out a prayer is to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in that prayer. Mm-hmm. Always, you know, asking for Christ to be at the forefront and center of every word that comes from your mouth. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I try to practice when we're in our group is active listening. And for those of out there that haven't been to one of our groups, we open up with a time for the guys to check in. And each person in the group has a moment to kind of tell us where they're at physically, mentally, spiritually, relationally for a few of us, financially. No, yeah. we don't make
what's your credit score?
What's your credit score? I mean, guys check in financially, but no, spiritually and, you know, just see where the guys are at. And that's a place that we derive a lot of our prayer requests from is what the guys are checking in with there. You know, but it's those times when the men are going around and they're sharing what's on their heart that it just really brings you to the place where you just want the healing for them. You want the peace for them. You know, you want them to find that part that they're missing sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's a great inspiration too, to hear the prayers of other guys, because sometimes you hear it and you're like, man, I thought I was the only one going through that, you know, and you hear these guys lay that out. And I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Yeah. I think some of the, a good way to start is, you know, just saying the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We all know it, right? So, and that's something that I, lately I've been saying a whole lot is just the Lord's Prayer. You know, the first thing I do is I thank him, and I ask for forgiveness, and I go into the Lord's Prayer. You know, it's but you're right. It's, when I first started, I would get called on to pray. It was very, very, very challenging for me. I was like, what do I say? I mean, how do I do this? Right? Like, I didn't know how to start. You know. And I think as you continue to practice out loud in your head, then it gets much easier. I mean, you're going to have probably the same prayer most of the time, for me anyway. However, it's something that you're right. It's just a conversation with God, right? Like when I'm driving to BSF for a leaders meeting in the morning, it's from here to Boulder, it's probably about 20, 30 minutes. I'll turn the music off and I'll just pray. Right. It's just a conversation that I have with God. I'll talking to him. I don't hear anything, you know.
I was going to ask that.
Yes.
Has anybody ever heard something?
I have not.
Do you believe people when they do? When they've said, I heard from God?
That is something that is, I question that. I really do. I question that. Maybe people are... maybe it's your conscience. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like,
I think you can. I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's not a possibility.
No, but I think it gets shown in different ways.
Right.
Right. It's not exactly a voice, right? Being said, you know, like, you know, make a left here or turn right here or don't do this or don't do that. It's something that I think is more of like a sign or opportunities.
I can't claim I've ever heard a voice.
Have you ever seen a sign that is you knew was directly from God? Something that took place or that was just too coincidental to be coincidental?
I can honestly say yes. There were a couple times I definitely remember. Okay, so I have a very vivid memory of being on the lake fishing with my mom at a young age, and just a really simple thing where I was a kid and didn't think much of prayer at that time. Just thought it was just something. And she really wanted to teach me about prayer and just use that moment of like, let's just ask God to see if he can give us a fish because we hadn't got anything. And like next cast, like, I mean, I still remember the fish. It was like maybe 6-8 inch perch. And it's a little thing, but still. And on that very same lake, years later, my son was fishing, and my son does not like to fish. He has autism. He was out on the lake with us. It was a beautiful night. And we're just thinking, okay, take all the kids fishing. They wanted to do a tournament, one boat versus the next boat, you know, like we had. Mm-hmm. And the kids got to pick the team. So I'm on the boat, and I'm just thinking, let me just get my son into the water. And he's just going. And I'm just kind of praying in my head of like, God, you've always provided the fish on this lake, you know, just, and like less than a minute later, just a fairly big size bass, you know, just like snagging on him, and he's just freaking out. And then like, you know, in the boat, you know, now like it's such a small thing, you know, but I remember that. Mm-hmm. But I also remember when I was moving from Michigan to Los Angeles and right outside of Vegas, like being in a panic attack of, you know, like I was just like, you got to the moment where you're just like scared. It was, you know, I left Colorado, into Utah, and I was just like, what am I doing? And all this. And, then it became a moment where I just prayed and I said, like, Lord, if you want me to turn around, I will. And there was just a, you know, I had everything I owned in my car, in my Volkswagen Jetta, and I didn't have a job, I didn't have a place to live, I didn't have anything. And yeah, I was a little panicky, and I just kept saying, you know, what am I doing? What, you know, if you want me to turn around. And he really calmed me down in that moment and said, this is going to be better than you think. This is going to be mm-hmm. like, and I was like a couple weeks away from meeting a roommate, getting a job. Not only that, but like meeting my, or reuniting with my wife,
right.
Like a month later or so. Like, and which led to so many things. Like it was, he really did have me, and he calmed me down in that moment. So, okay. So when have all of you heard from God in your prayers?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm similar to others that I haven't heard a direct voice. At the same time, I think one of the things that's become clear to me is that an answer is not always the answer to our exact question. Or our exact ask. And so oftentimes we ask for direct things, and we expect a yes or no. And I think what I've seen in my own life is that things have played out a lot differently. And I think to your earlier point, things have played out better than I ever anticipated. And so I think, you know, it's important for us as we are praying and asking the Lord for things that we, you know, also ask for wisdom, also ask for the right answer that is God's right answer rather than our right answer. And so that's where I feel like things start to play out and I get my answer, you know, doors open, doors close, things become possible, things become impossible. When you're asking with a sense of wisdom, or you're asking for wisdom in certain situations and not necessarily a specific outcome.
I feel like I ask for discernment a lot only because Solomon asked for discernment and that really pleased God. So I'm like, oh, I'll copy your homework. Like if that's what really pleases you, not that I don't want it. I mean, discernment's a big deal. Maybe imperative. The biggest deal, yeah, but like, huge. Yeah. Who else has heard from God when they pray?
You know, I when I ask for things, or I guess it is asking for things, I feel like I've gotten it through other people. Like, you know, I ask God all the time, you know, if there's anything I can do for you, you know, show me. Grant me opportunities. And there's things that show up in my life and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, this is God, right? And you know, thinking back a couple of years where I was asking, when I was praying that prayer, and like literally like a day later, I get a phone call like asking to lead a Bible study fellowship group, right? And I'm like, I said I'll think about it, but then like afterwards I thought about it. I'm like, you know, this is what I've been asking for from God. How can I help further your love and your word? And this is it. This is a way to do it, you know? So, among other things, right. And in, I know in the last podcast I talked about something that is, I got some news, that I want to share, but I'm not going to share it tonight.
No. It still has teases every single
come
time.
Come on, man.
It's exciting. So anyways, it's in due time.
Did you get drafted by like a sports league or something?
I wish.
I mean, that's like,
that would be awesome.
You don't need to hide it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll share it when it, once it's confirmed. How about that? So
I will remain on the edge of my seat as I was last time.
Intriguing, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure it doesn't take that long to confirm a lotto ticket, man.
I wish it was a lotto ticket. Yeah. It's a marketing thing, actually. Like, make people come back for more. What's his news?
We're going to have to edit that out because that's a peek behind the curtain. Yeah.
Right.
No, it's getting close. So give me a couple weeks. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'll share the news. So hopefully in our next podcast, and I can share the news, and it's exciting. So,
you know, it's interesting when we start praying to be used by God, and for me, I find myself, you know, running ahead of God all the time, going, oh, well, this is what he must want me to do, this is what he must want me to do, only because I heard someone say, hey, you know, just start doing something, and if he doesn't want you there, you know, he'll redirect you.
He'll move me.
He'll move you. You know, yeah, he's good at that. So, you know, and it makes me think back, you know, some years back when I was involved in a Celebrate Recovery ministry, and I left that ministry and decided to help this other church start up a Celebrate Recovery, and I really felt that was where God wanted me to be. And so I went to their first meeting, and there were like 20 new people that were going to be leaders to everything from leading groups, and you got men's groups, women's groups, and you do a fellowship, and they do food, and you got audio, I mean, band, this whole thing. And knew some people there, but there was only probably three of us that had any Celebrate Recovery ministry experience. And so I was like, oh, well, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to help lead this group, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to help guide and mentor these other people and help them become good leaders and this and that. And I was all excited about it. And I talked to the pastor and this whole thing, you know, and went to the second meeting and the whole deal. And right before we were getting ready to start up group, he called me up and he said, hey, did you say that you go to this other church? And I'm like, yeah, I've been going there for about 12 years. And he goes, yeah, about that. We're going to go ahead and do this ministry from within our church. So unless you attend our church, wow, you can't be part of this ministry. And I was like, okay, I didn't see that coming. I thought that was pretty clear that, you know, what God wanted for me there. And it wasn't. You know, so, and then he redirected me somewhere else. So it's kind of interesting how he will, you know, use the shortcomings in areas that you think that you belong. And God's like, you know what? You do belong somewhere, and I've got big plans. Mm-hmm. I've got bigger plans than you can actually imagine. So just, you know, allow me to do the leading. But, you know, going to your question about, hearing from God, you know, not actually hearing God's voice, but like Richard was saying, through signs and different direction and things
through life. Other people, right? Like through other people. I think that's huge. And it's something, like I said earlier, so you have to be able to be open to receiving that.
Well, and when you are, I think that's when you really do have those opportunities. You know, and here's a quick short story that's kind of just crazy and ironic, is back in 2014, I bought a new minivan for my business. People are like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ posing as a window cleaner. That's, that's what I do. Yeah, well, you know. And I was shopping for a van, and I was getting ready to buy this Ford van. And right at the last second, I said, man, I think Nissan makes a van. So I decided to call up the Nissan dealership. Well, going back about a year before that, I was at church, and I was working on the facilities team, and we were doing baptisms. And at the church I was going to at that time, we do full submersion baptisms. So we've got these basically horse troughs set up at the front of the stage, and we're immersing people in there. And in between services, I'm sitting in there, and we're kind of cleaning up, and I was sitting to the side waiting for some more direction or whatever. And one of the guys that I know from Celebrate, I probably shouldn't say that, but I think I could have his permission. Anonymity is a big thing with CR. But this guy I knew from church came, and he said, hey, are you working facilities today doing baptisms? I said, yeah. He said, man, would you baptize me today?
Oh, that's awesome.
It brought me to tears. I was like, yeah, I will, but I'll meet you down there in a little bit.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, it just really choked me up. And so going back to the Nissan thing, I'm getting ready to go buy the Ford. I'm like, I'm going to call up the Nissan dealership. So I call up, and it rings, and it rings, and it rings, and it rings. And I'm just getting ready to hang up. And all of a sudden, this guy picks up the phone and goes, hello, this is Johnny. And I go, you guys carry Nissan vans, don't you? Little cargo vans without the windows and stuff. And he goes, is this Glenn the baptizer? And I went,
no.
Johnny?
And no he goes, way.
I had no idea he even sold cars. And it was him.
That is awesome.
That sold the car. And I was like, all right, just get my van ready. I'll be up to pick it up, you know? Because I was like, oh, man, if that isn't from God, I don't know what is. You know, because it's kind of funny because before I was like, hey, man, you know, God, what is it I need to do here? You know, I need a van. And, you know, what type of van? You know, the small things.
Yep.
But, you know, the story I was going to share with Jeff, and I think Caleb and Richard have heard this, but I was telling you about this a couple Tuesday nights ago about my Great is Thy Faithfulness story.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I was down, it was a couple years ago, and I had been diagnosed with cancer, and I had to go in for this surgery for this cancer diagnosis, and I was at a wedding down in Southern Colorado, mm-hmm. and on the way out to the wedding on Saturday night, we were driving to this small town out in Colorado City, South Pueblo, and I saw this small church there, and I said to my wife, I said, man, well, tomorrow morning when we get up, because we were staying in a hotel right off the interstate, and which was real nice, and I said, we'll have to go down and check out that church. And so Sunday morning comes up, and we get up and get some breakfast, and I looked them up online, and they didn't have a website or anything, so the only thing that I could find was that they closed at noon. So I was like, oh, well, they must, start at, you know, 11 o'clock. So we get up about 10:30, get down there about a quarter to 11, and church has already started. They're already doing announcements. And I'm like, oh. All right, well, there's still announcements. They haven't really started all the music and everything. So we sit down in the back of the church, my wife and I. We're like in the very back row, not even in a pew. We're in the chairs, you know, against the back wall. And we're sitting there, and they start singing all these hymns. In the church I grew up in, they have the hymns listed on a board on each side of the...
I know that church.
You know that church where they list the hymns? Well, this church didn't have that. They would just say, okay, we're going to go ahead and sing this hymn, open your hymnal to da-da-da, and everybody would open their hymnal, and they were singing these old school hymns, though. They were singing, they sang some new contemporary stuff, but they sang a bunch of old school stuff. And now that I'm in BSF, we sing all the old school hymns in BSF, so I knew most of them. It was great. So I'm singing away and loving it. And then the pastor gets up, and the pastor gives this great teaching. It's Labor Day weekend, and he gives this great teaching about our labor and this. And it was just really, really cool. And then they decide to do communion. And so they go and they hand out the little cups, you know, and I get my cup and I've just got wine and I've got two cups, but I've got wine. And I'm like, where's, you know, where's the body of Jesus here, you know? And I look over and this guy sit over a couple rows from me, he's got a single cup with wine in. I'm like, well, he's got two cups too, and so does she. Man, who's running the communion show around here? What's going on, you know? And then I see this lady, she picks up her cup off the top, and the host is in the cup underneath. I'm like, and so I lift up mine. I'm like, yeah, oh, there, okay, there's Jesus. All right, oh, I'm back in. All right, cool. So I'm like, all right, I got the host. I got the, so I take communion, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, and I'm thinking about this surgery coming up, and I'm like, man, God, do you got me on this? I mean, can I trust you on this? Am I on your radar? Have you forgotten about me? Because I was worried, man. It's a major surgery. Mm-hmm. I was worried, yeah. You know. And I was like, man, I don't know. I don't think, unless you show me something, man, I just don't think I can do this alone. So I pray for a little bit. And finally, I'm sitting there, and I reach up. There's a hymnal in front of me, and I pick it up and I open it up about 40 pages or whatever, and I'm reading the hymn and I'm like, I don't know that one. So I flip open another 100 and some odd pages and there's another hymn and I'm reading that and I'm like, God, that sounds familiar, but I can't remember how that goes. And then I flip open to page 517, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know that one? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Morning to morning, new mercies I see. All that I have, all thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I'm like, oh, man, that is a great song. I wish they'd play it, you know. And I look up, and I can see the pianist still sitting up there. I'm like, oh, I should just go up and ask her. Well, maybe next time I come to this church. Yeah, special request. Are you taking requests up here? Yeah. So I take the hymnal, and I set it back down, and pastor gets up and he says, well, I'd like to thank you guys all for coming this weekend. Have a blessed Labor Day weekend. Enjoy having Monday off and everything. But actually, before we leave, if everyone would just open up their hymnal to hymn 517, we'd like to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Awesome.
And I mean, it brought me to tears. It blew me away. I opened up the hymnal. There were 932 hymns in that hymnal. And he just happened to pick number 517. And that's when I knew that God had me. He's like, wow. No, I haven't forgot about you. I got you, you know? And it was amazing.
That's awesome.
It really was. It was incredible. It blew me away. I mean,
there are signs. When you first told me that story, Glenn, I was like, no way. And it's, there are signs, right? There's signs that God is listening to you. We just have to be able to be open to receiving those signs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
you know, and yeah. And it all turned out okay.
And that story is
cancer free.
That story is sponsored by your local Nissan dealership.
I don't think he works for Nissan anymore, but I'll tell you, that van's been great, you know. It's,
thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was pretty
crazy. The power prayer, I, you know, everyone just don't stop praying. Continue to pray. God will answer your prayers, right? So, all right. So we're going to go into our next section, and that's fellowship. So I think, Caleb, you wanted to say something about fellowship, right?
Yeah. So I think many of us, all of us sitting around the table, have kind of experienced, you know, what this group's been over the last couple of years since we've joined. And I think we've seen a lot of growth. I think last week we had 21 people, 21 men that came together.
It's awesome.
At Satire. It was just a great conversation. I guess what I'd be interested as an OG, as I call him, Glenn.
Does that stand for old guy?
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Original gangster.
Original gangster. Original gentleman. I think all the things.
Old guy's more like it.
I think I would love to hear, and I think we would love to hear as listeners, what it was like kind of that first night that you showed up at group and what the group kind of dynamic was early on. And that could be whatever you feel is important to share.
Okay. Yeah, originally, you know, my friend Dave had an opportunity to start a group. He wasn't sure he was even really looking for one to really help anybody. If you ask him, and we'll have him on here sometime in the future, and he'll tell you that he started it for his own reasons, because he needed a place to link arms with other men and to be able to share his story and have other men listen. And, you know, he wasn't trying to fix anybody. He wasn't, he says, you know, in a way, you know, I kind of did it for selfish reasons. And so he decided to sign up and start this group. And, one of our, elders from the group, Jay, was originally our coach, and he was coaching six other groups. I don't think he coaches any of those groups anymore. Now he's just a member of our group. You know, it was in a pretty large church at the time. And we probably had maybe 6 to 8 guys that were signed up for it that showed up probably the first few weeks in a row. Dave called me right after he had signed up and said, "Hey, I'm starting this men's group, and I want you to be part of it." And I was like, "You know, I don't really think I have time to do that, or really a desire to do that." And he says, "Well, that's too bad. You're doing it anyhow." You know, and I was like, "All right." And, well, I think the cinch was, he's like, "Well, it's at a brewery," and I'm like, "All right, I'm in." You know, if we're going to do it at a brewery. It's not the brewery that we are doing it at now, and I won't share which brewery it is, because we did have a slight falling out with them. When we first started going to this brewery, we met in the main area of the rest of the brewery.
Right.
And these men were sharing some pretty personal stuff, and it was relatively loud in there, so it was a little tricky for us to get a certain level of privacy in order that people at other tables or whatever weren't hearing some of the things that were being shared. Yeah, and doing, you know, 5 years in a Celebrate Recovery ministry, I was pretty much an open book, and I have a tendency to overshare sometimes, even at BSF. They're like, "Whoa, dude." I'm like, "Am I the only one that wrote down lust? What are you guys doing?" And they're like, "Whoa."
That's what we like about you.
Yeah, man. They're like, "Easy, pal." I'm like, "Well, come on, you liars." You know, I know you guys are all thinking it. So, you know, then this brewery expanded, and they put a room next door. They took over the retail space next door, and they built another room in there. And we would start meeting in that room. And the group started to grow. It went to, you know, it went 8, and then it was 10, and all of a sudden there were 12 guys. And, you know, and every week it was pretty consistent, 8 to 9, 10 guys. And we had this great room. We had privacy. The door shut, you know, and even if they would have other people come in there, the room was long enough and we were at one end on a large table that we still, you know, we had a certain level of privacy. So it was really, really cool. Right. And so one night after group, I ran into the owner of the brewery and I jokingly said, "Hey man, thanks for building that room for us." I said, "I really appreciate that. We're going to fill that thing up." And he said, "Yeah, about that, we're going to start having a trivia night on Tuesdays in there. You guys are going to have to move back into the main bar." And I said, "That's not going to work." I said, "There's no way we're moving back into the main bar. It's too noisy and it's not private enough." And so we came to another guy in the group. I told Dave, I said, "Hey, man, we need to start praying about a place to meet." And one of the guys that was coming to group, who, if you're out there and you know who you are, we really want you to come back to group, man.
Yes. So
get to group. We haven't seen you in a while. We miss you. But he said, "Hey, I know where there's this other brewery up the street, this guy, and they've got really good beer, and that piqued my interest. So I was like, all right. So I went, we went up there and we talked to Todd, and we said, hey, we got this men's group. We meet on Tuesday nights, you know, and he's like, well, yeah, you can use my brewery. And then I looked at his hours and I said, oh man, you're not open on Tuesdays. And he said, oh, we'll open up for you guys.
Love wow. it.
And I was like, yeah. you're kidding me. And he's like, no, we'll open up for you guys. So at that time, Satire wasn't even open on Tuesday nights.
Correct.
They opened up for us. And now, and we told him, I said, hey, you know, go ahead and leave the open sign up. I mean, if we're going to be in here, you might as well have other customers come in here if you're having someone. And so now Tuesday night's a really busy night up there.
Dude, it was packed on Tuesday.
Yes, it was.
Packed. Yeah. And, you know, and fortunately, Todd built us our own room there, too. We've got the Moose Lodge Lodge. You know? So now we got our own room.
The Fellowship Lodge.
You know, but... You know, it's been really interesting what's taken place up there. And, you know, when we first started meeting on Tuesdays, we were like the only people there. We didn't meet in the back room where we normally meet, and they didn't have the Moose Lodge at the time. And we would just meet in that front room. And one night I come in, and there's this guy sitting up at the bar. And I go up and I ordered a beer and I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, it's going good. How you doing? I said, he goes, you part of that group over there? I said, oh yeah, man, we're a bunch of, you know, a bunch of Jesus freaks and this and that. He's like, wow, that's really cool, you know? And I'm like, oh, all right, well, have a good night. And away I went, you know, went to group. And afterwards, probably 10, 12 guys there. And we got up and went up to pay our bill, and that guy had paid our bill for the entire group.
Oh, wow.
And he left. That's awesome. He wasn't there.
I remember that.
And I turned to Dave and I said, dude, I was just talking to that guy. And Dave goes, I was talking to that guy too. And I said, did you invite him to group? He said, no. Did you? I said, no. And we looked at each other and we said, what a couple buffoons, man. If God can use you two knuckleheads, he can use anybody. I mean, we couldn't believe it. So, you know, we became hyper aware of that. And that was one of the things that really prompted me to be a little more bold about inviting men to group, you know. And now that we've got the business cards, you know, shout out to our graphic and designer and our web designer over there. She takes care of all of that for us. And so we got our business cards, which is just one of a great tool just to hand out and invite guys to group. And I can't count the amount of men that we've had come to group just by someone handing them a card, inviting them to group. And, you know, it's just... it's a real blessing, but you know, initially it was very interesting, and I never thought I would see it go to where it is today. Mm. You know, to see it continue to grow, and the men that have come and gone. You know, and what's really wild is, I mean, we've had men that we've lost in there to cancer and death, and we've had guys in there that have lost family members that have had to come into that group and really lean on some men. And what I really appreciate about this group is that it happens outside of Tuesday night, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of the guys in this group link up during the week. There's phone calls that are made. There, you know, there's business transactions that are made, you know, really. Yeah. Calling guys and, hey, I need your help with this. I need that, you know? And, you know, I need a ride, whatever that may be. And, you know,
I need a 40-foot ladder.
I need a ladder. Yeah.
Just saying, it might have happened.
Might have happened. Never climbed it, but I delivered it anyhow. Yeah. I should have just got up there and painted that for you, I think. That's what it came down to. but it's been good. You know, I was thinking too what I was telling you about earlier, and I lost my train of thought because we got into something else, but about the guys in group sharing on Tuesday night and just being an active listener, which really leads you to this level of empathy, because you're really listening to what these guys are saying and you're trying to imagine what that's like to live that out in your life, or you may be living out portions of it in your own life. So by the time it gets around to me, I haven't thought about what I'm going to say at all. I mean, I don't sit there and go, okay, when it comes my turn, I'm going to say this and this. Or even when it comes, if someone calls on me to pray, the first thing I do is I'm like, Holy Spirit, lead me. Mm-hmm. And then I pray. And whatever comes out, comes out. You know, I don't try to formulate any type of agenda or any type of answer to anything. I just try to be an active listener, a be with listener, and really try to absorb what those guys are saying, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And that's I love that. I love that part about it too. It's just, you know.
Yeah. So. And that's a, you know, it's a great story of the group, how we came about and where we're at now, right? We're doing a podcast, for goodness sake, you know. Yeah. Whatever the thought that we have a website, we have business cards, invite cards, a podcast.
QR code.
QR code, right?
Like hats.
It's crazy.
We got hats. Yeah.
Hats.
Golf outings.
Do we need more hats? I can.
We need. When's Todd going to name a beer after us?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a beer. We need our own beer.
We just have to agree on what type of beer. I want.
Good luck on that one.
Barrel aged beer.
I was going to say CS Brewis. Because we're the drinklings, you know, we're the drinklings instead of the inklings. It's all the satire. It's the
further discussion needed. That's the name.
I'll talk to Todd. See what he says about naming a beer after our group.
I don't even care what it is. I'll take one.
That's right. But you're right. It's this. We've seen as many as 28, 29 men,
mm-hmm.
right? In one night.
Mm-hmm.
If
we do a couples night, it's up in the 30s.
Yeah, absolutely. And if every man who's walked through that door to join our group, I think it'd be easily in the 60s.
I accept. Yeah. Our email list is just at 70.
Yeah, it's huge, mm-hmm. right? I think, you know, and back to earlier when you talk about prayer, I think you continue to pray about each and every man who one knows about this group or has been to a group, right? That they, or is coming to our group, they continue or they come back, whatever that looks like. We have guys that come every 6 months, and that's okay, right? Because life happens. Right. So, but we're always there. We're always there. And
open invitation.
Absolutely. And I say this all the time. It's like, you know, when I'm handing out a business card I'm talking to somebody about our group, I tell them, I was like, hey, you know, the door is open. It's up to you to step through it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always there. I invited one of my coworkers and he showed up Tuesday.
That was awesome.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Knowledgeable.
That guy.
Holy cow.
I told you, like every Monday, I look out for him. Where's he at?
Mm-hmm. And I could see it now.
He'll ask me. He's like, "What's the question or what's the subject of the day?"
Yeah.
I'm like, and this past Monday, it was actually Tuesday when I talked to him, and I was like, I don't know. And then I brought up prayer, and then we started talking, and like 30 minutes later, I'm sorry, I have to go. I'm not going to mention his name, but because I have work to do, but it's always a great conversation with mm-hmm. him, right? He's very, very knowledgeable. So
I think that's one of the cool dynamics of our group is, you know, you have people that walk in or are part of the group that know a lot about the Bible, right? A lot about the Bible. And then you have people who are searching and they are attracted to this idea of men sitting around and being vulnerable and getting support from each other, right? Whether they align with Christian beliefs or not, right? And I think that's a great thing about our group is that it's a welcoming environment. You come and share without judgment.
Right.
You don't have to align with all the beliefs in the room. We have very respectful conversation. And I think I appreciate that. That's more of the, what I consider the real world or the real church are those types of conversations and support rather than a bunch of people thinking the same thing and just kind of pumping each other full of the beliefs that they all believe. Right.
Yeah. There's nobody there trying to convert you over to a specific theology of some sort, you know, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and there is definitely no judgment and condemnation going on there. And if there's anybody out there listening to this that's judging us about having our Bible study at a brewery, I'm just really sorry for you. You know, well, the truth is, you know, it's not like we're in there getting hammered. I mean, we have guys that come to group that don't even drink.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of them.
Yeah. There's a lot.
You know, fortunately, they eat squirrels, so that you know something.
It's not actual
squirrels.
I was gonna say maybe we should clarify.
Yeah,
what
you're
a
gonna have
is.
To come if you want to figure out what a squirrel is. Yeah. Satire is.
Go to our website.
Yeah, go to our website. You'll find out. What eat squirrels? What in the world are these guys talking about? These guys are rednecks. down deep.
A lot of us are.
Yeah, down deep it is. But in the age dynamic too. Mm-hmm. You know. I mean, you know, we've got real young guys in there and, you know, guys that are new fathers and guys that are a little farther along and
grandfathers.
Yeah, grandfathers. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I love about this. I think that's why it's lasted so long, because you look at other men's groups. I don't know if you guys have been in a part of other men's groups. How long have they lasted? Right. Or even couples groups. Right. Like, how long have they lasted? You look at our group, and we've been together for, it's like 6 years now, I believe, right?
Without many breaks, I mean.
Exactly, right? Like,
when we take a break, people show up at the brewery.
You're absolutely right. You know, even if it's just two men showing up, sitting at the bar, just talking about whatever, someone's always going to be there, right? Like, and it's amazing, because it's hard to find that. Listen, men now, men don't have an outlet, and it's sad to hear, because I hear it, I see it, you know, and men don't have an outlet. So if any man out there is listening and you're in the Denver area, North Denver area, you know, listen, we'd love to have you. So show up Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, 6 to 8, Satire Brewery in Thornton, Colorado. And, you know, if you go to our website, there's a email link, info@BibleBrothersAndBeer.com. You can send us an email, and you know we'll respond to you. So,
and if you show up and you don't see us in there, just ask at the bar. They know where we're at.
They know us.
They got a great staff there that takes really good care of us.
Yeah,
yeah. I think one of the things I wanted to share, because I don't think it's been on a podcast yet. I know this is our second one, but when Jeff and I kind of took over leadership of this group, one of the things that was super important to us was to keep the essence of the group. And I think, you know, I appreciate Glenn's story around what it looked like from day one. I think that's super, super cool. Yeah. But it also, it encourages me, because I think what you all, or Dave, when he started this, was trying to achieve, we're actually achieving, right? And I think one of the things that we did in kind of this last phase of the group was to create a mission statement, to make sure that we didn't go away from the essence with a change in leadership.
Do you have it there?
I have it right here.
Are you going to read it? Are you going to read it?
I am.
All right. Let's
go. I am. So this is the mission statement of our group. And I think it kind of summarizes a lot of stuff that we've been talking about, but it says our mission is to create a life group for men that fosters authenticity, accountability, and connection through check-ins and shared experiences. This is a safe and confidential space where we can navigate life's challenges together without fear of judgment, embracing both our strengths and weaknesses. Rooted in scripture and prayer, we seek to support one another emotionally and spiritually, diving deeply into God's word to find guidance and strength. Each week, we thoughtfully engage with topics that encourage honest reflection and meaningful discussion. As a generationally diverse community of men, we are united in the pursuit of Jesus, committed to walking alongside one another in faith, growth, and prayer. This is our church, a sacred space to listen, to be heard, and to grow stronger together in Christ.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. It's awesome.
Let's talk about beer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about beer.
Let's talk about beer.
Mic drop a moment. So,
boom. Love it.
Okay. So Caleb brought Well, did you bring Caleb?
Did I bring it? I think it's gone already.
It is gone.
It's gone.
Caleb brought a honey orange tripel Belgian style brew with wild African honey and fresh ground orange peel.
And that is from New Belgium
Brewing Company.
Where's New Belgium?
I think that's up in Fort Collins, isn't it?
That's a Colorado beer.
It is Colorado.
Yeah, it's Fort Collins. Fort Collins.
It Road is trip. Not in Belgium.
Road I've trip. Been,
what's the alcohol content?
I've been nursing this one.
Come on, man.
It's 10%.
Yeah.
10%.
Jeez.
And I love tripels. Tripels are one of my favorite beers. I love Belgian-style beer in general. But that's not what I brought.
You brought a couple of beers.
I brought a couple different beers. Richard, how'd you like that
so
beer?
So I drank the...
Hollidale. Grab that bottle over there. And can you reach that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put that on camera.
So oh, wait, soon. I was actually looking up, what I need to get us on video. We're going to have to get a space that's a little more appealing, I think.
The Moose Lodge.
Yeah. Moose Lodge. I actually thought about that. I did think about that. It's like, where can we record where it's, because there are private rooms at the Moose Lodge.
Yeah. And there's an unlimited amount of beers. We'll never work our way. Because he's a brewaholic.
Todd's awesome.
Yeah, he's brewing up a storm.
So I'm drinking. So Glenn, you brought this from
Breckenridge.
Breckenridge Brewery. It's called Hollidale. And I don't have my glasses on, so I can't really see what it says.
We are a generationally diverse group.
We are, yes. I am challenged with reading close up.
You're optically diverse as well.
Optically diverse.
I brought the Christmas ale also, and I don't know if anybody dove into that.
That's what I'm drinking now.
Oh, you're having the Christmas ale now?
Yeah, Caleb. I poured Caleb one too.
Yeah, good, I appreciate it. Good.
Yeah. The Hollidale is actually the Breckenridge Brewery's Christmas ale that's been barrel-aged in whiskey barrels.
That one's fantastic.
It's got there's a lot going on there with this one. I don't know. It's got a pretty high alcohol content, if I'm correct.
That's the first thing we look at, isn't it? Like, what's the ABV on that beer? Is it over 10?
Is it over 10? Throw it out.
If it's not, throw it out, right?
What do we got going on here? Yeah, I don't see it on here. I think this is, though, around 10 or 12%. Here it is. Yeah, 12%.
12%. Wow.
12% on Hollidale. And Christmas ale, I think, is 8. Probably 8. But,
Good stuff. It's very, so they're dark beers, right? With the exception of the one that Caleb brought, that's a lighter beer.
Will you open it for me?
7% autumn ale.
I'll drink it. Thank you. So autumn ale. This is really one of my favorite beers. It's brewed with Munich malts. Brown ale only comes out once a year. Munich malts, Bavarian hops, pretty big beer.
Don't spill it.
Spill it on our podcast is over. We finished it. Let me.
Oh, Glenn, I love you, buddy.
Spill it.
You're double fisting over there.
I gotta let the guys try it here. I'm gonna dump it. Thank you. Well, I don't know if you can hear this in a.
Pour it's a smooth pour.
Yeah,
smooth
there pour. You go. Thank try you. That and see what you think about that. I'm gonna try. And take a drink out of this bottle real quick.
That's what you're drinking, isn't it, Caleb?
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
Jeff, you want to try that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's good.
Dark. This is I my like favorite. I just go by color.
You like dark beers?
I like dark beers.
Dark
and red.
I appreciate you guys bringing the beers. That's awesome. I love it.
Good.
However, if you did not bring beers, I was going to open up some barley wines that I had.
Oh boy,
I do enjoy barley wines. Oh, dude. My neighbor used to brew the best barley wine.
Yeah,
and he didn't do it anymore. But that thing was awesome.
Oh, I love barley wines. I went to with some friends to. They had a barley wine release. They released a bunch of barley wines, and we went up there and. And I bought, I don't know how many bottles. I think I walked away with probably like 8 bottles, maybe, of barley wine. Some in the fridge, that's
stuff is sneaky.
It is. I love barley wines. Hey, listen, it's the next podcast. That's what we'll try out. So,
as long as I don't have to go plow.
You're going to have to plow right now.
Is it snowing out?
It's snowing like crazy.
First thing I'm doing is plowing the neighbor in.
Don't piss off my neighbor. No, I won't.
Well, she made me move my truck because she couldn't back into the driveway. I don't know. I mean,
I love you, Glenn.
I'm parked three blocks away. You know, I'm driving an F-350 with a plow.
Get your steps in. That's fine.
You know, get your steps in. I got plenty of steps, man. I'm going to work off some of this beer. But
it's a lot. We have a lot to drink, so don't
just a couple.
Yeah, so Breckenridge Brewery in New Belgium, the
Orange Triple.
The Triple.
The Autumn Ale, Christmas Ale,
and the Holidays.
Holiday
yeah. All good stuff. All you got to try it out.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think they're that one you brought, Caleb, was Barrel Age, wasn't it? Was it Barrel Age? It's Triple.
No, the Triple isn't.
No, okay. This is,
but it's high ABV.
Brewed with wild African honey and fresh ground.
That's right.
Orange peel.
Yeah, yummy. Yeah. I'm going actually to Belgium this summer. I'm taking a trip over there. Yeah.
Are you gonna give me a week's notice so I can go with you?
You want to go with? Yeah.
You doing Polaris?
Well, one of us will be flying Polaris.
You're a rascal.
But, yeah,
give me a week's notice, dude. I'll go with you.
You do a lot of travel.
I like to travel. Yeah, I mean, having a wife that works for the airlines with 30 years or 27 years in.
Yes.
I have seniority now, so I don't have to be bumped off a plane in Sky Harbor Airport for 3 days anymore. You know, when I go up there and look at the standby list, I'm number one.
I'm going to give you a hard time right now, Glenn, because you called me when you're sitting at the airport because you're going to visit Sven.
Yeah, you had your chance.
Whatever, dude. Like you did. You gave me like 2 hour notice.
I mean, what do you need to pack? What's the problem? You know, you got enough sick time on your schedule to take off a year.
I have a lot of PTO.
Some time off. And no, we'll keep an eye on the flights. And
let me know.
Richard's flying standby now, the newest addition to the standby list.
Yeah, let me know.
Number 48 on the standby list.
But I'm down on the bottom. You know what?
Yeah. Listen, if there's an empty plane going somewhere, he's got a seat.
Yeah, that's right, for sure.
I am very grateful. I'm very grateful. So
yeah, it's a good gig, man.
If I can get on, I'm grateful. I don't care where I'm at. I just put my headphones on, open up my iPad. I'm good to go.
Well, noise canceling headphones is the greatest thing that ever happened to airline travel.
Yeah,
ever. I love it. Kids are back there screaming. I put them on. I'm like, good night.
Good night.
You don't hear nothing, man.
You have a lot of kids in first class.
No, not usually. But I don't even want to hear them screaming back in coach. Silence, minions.
This will definitely be part of the outtakes. last 10 or 15 minutes, I would say.
We need to start as soon as we sit down and catch all the stuff beforehand.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, absolutely. So
some of these podcasts have after shows. We should have a pre-show, too.
Pre-show and after pre-show and outtakes. So
the live show on Tuesday night is the best one.
That's the best one.
It's what you get. What you get.
So all you guys out there on the email list, we'll see you Tuesday night. Get to group. We miss you.
Yeah.
We love you. Right. We need you there. Yeah. You do matter to us. Your input matters to us. Yeah. Your stories matter. And you know, it's part of it. It's not just what you're taking away from group, it's what you're adding to the group. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think some guys come there sometimes and they don't feel like they're participating or adding anything to it. And some guys come there, they don't say anything either. So maybe that's just the time and you're at that season where, you know, you just need to listen. You just need to hear.
Even just, I think, being around men is enough for some guys, right? So for some men,
mm-hmm.
And just knowing that they have someplace to go to be around men, even just sitting in silence, you know, is all they need. And that's okay. Right. So,
well, it seems like those guys almost inevitably have a one-on-one or a one-on-two conversation afterwards. You'll always see them talking to somebody afterwards, mm-hmm. usually something that someone has said that resonates with them or whatever, and you'll see them having that conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of different personalities there. So some of them, like, especially when they're new, you're like, check in. Everything's good. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, we're all good. And then then, like, you know, during the discussion, they're like, actually, I got a really good point about this. You know, I mean, not said in those words, but then, and then you talk to them afterwards, and they've, you know, we all come out of our shell in different ways. So
I think the thing to remember is that every week we pray for guys who haven't yet made it, won't make it that night, and guys that will be part of the group in the future.
Yeah, right? They haven't found us yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just know that if you're listening, you're a man. We're praying for you. Absolutely. And hopefully that's a good thing for you.
Absolutely.
Overall, so, we pray for his will to be done.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line is everybody there is seeking God's will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've heard this several times before I read the word. I ask God, what do you want me to know about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. and ultimately, you know, I mean, we talk about our group a lot, but globally, we're seeking God's will. We're seeking that direction.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, and that's one of the things that's why, you know, I want to start a podcast is so we can reach more men. If you look at the analytics on the RSS feed, we have listeners from all over the States. It's amazing. I love seeing it. Like there's a map of the United States or the world really. And there's red dots everywhere of people who have listened to us.
You know, I was going to ask you about that too. When we were talking about God kind of giving us signs and speaking to us, didn't that kind of happen to you when you started this podcast? You woke up in the middle of the night or something, and you just were like,
yeah.
How'd that go down? Yeah, I can't remember the specifics.
Well, I kept praying, like, what, God, what can I do to further your love and your kingdom, right? And, like, I woke up in the middle of the night, and it just popped in my head. I was like, why don't you start a podcast? What was that, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, when I tried it, when I mentioned it to you guys? And, yeah, I started buying all the equipment. You know, the equipment that you have here, right? And it's something that finally, with the help of Caleb and Jeff, right? Like, we kicked off the first one on New Year's Eve. And like I said, it's and goes back to our prayer time when we were talking about prayer. How can I help you, Father, right? Like, and it's something that you wake up in the middle of the night and something pops in your head. Right, maybe it's someone talking to you about giving you an opportunity to help further a church, or you pray for them, or, you know, whatever that looks like. Help me study, or lead a group, or, you know, whatever it is. I think God's always God's going to answer your prayers. You just have to be able to have your eyes open to receive it.
Well, and like Caleb said too, you know, most of the time when he's answering your prayers, it's usually a lot different than what you think it's going to be.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's it's kind of crazy. You know, when I first got into BSF, my first BSF leader, you have a teaching leader at BSF that gives you a weekly teaching in addition to the notes and the questions in the small group that you do. And my first teaching leader, his name was Monk. He's a cowboy Monk's a real cowboy, but Monk's a Jesus loving cowboy all the way. But my wife was going to BSF, as a lot of men end up at BSF through their wives going there. And she met this gal, and they were like, oh, we got to get our husbands together. We get in. And my buddy, she came home and she goes, oh, you got to meet my friend's husband, Duke. He's so fun. He's great and this and that. And I was like, I don't want another guy friend. And my, you know, and his wife is going, oh, you got to go meet Marsha's husband, Glenn. Oh, you guys. And Duke's like, I don't want to. You know? And so eventually the girls get us together. And of course, Duke and I, we just hit it off, man. We really hit it off. And the girls are like, well, you guys got to go to BSF. You got to go to BSF. And So I'm like, all right, Duke, how are we going to get out of this? You know, what? I'll tell you what, let's just go drink beer and play pool on Monday nights, and we'll tell the girls we're going to BSF. He's like, that's a great idea. So he was doing some farming with his brother out in Goodland, Kansas, and he was coming back from Goodland, Kansas, and he stopped out in Lamar at a coffee shop to get a cup of coffee for his drive back to Denver. Sat down up at the coffee bar at the restaurant there and ordered a cup of coffee, and this guy sitting next to him, and conversation turned to God, you know, and Duke is talking to the guy, and finally Duke says, you ever heard of BSF? And the guy says, yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. And Duke says, well, what do you know about it? And he says, well, I know I'm the teaching leader at Riverside Baptist Church.
No way.
And it was Monk Hall.
It was
Monk. He went ahead and Duke came back and shared that story with me. And I was like, man, I wish all of God's messages were that clear, you know, and that's when I started going to BSF.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
It was wild.
Yeah. Tuesday nights, Bible Brothers and Beer. So the original name of the group was Drinklings Men's Group. So, and we transitioned to Bible Brothers and Beer. However, we still incorporate Drinklings in there because it's a nod to our original name.
OGs.
Yeah, OGs. I think it means original gangster, not old men, old guy.
Old guys. Yeah. Overweight guys, in my case.
Listen, if you're a man, and I mentioned this earlier, if you're a man, if you live in the Denver North area, north of Denver.
Or just want to drive a long way.
Or just want south. To drive a long way.
Listen, or Wyoming. That's fine.
We meet Tuesday night, 6 to 8, at Satire Brewery in Thornton, Colorado. We have our website. Send us an email if you have any questions. We would love to have you, just show up. And like Glenn mentioned, you walk in. If you don't see us, just ask one of the servers, and they'll tell you where we're at. But, you know, thank you all for, Caleb, Jeff, Glenn, thank you for coming to talk tonight and, sharing your story, sharing the story of the group, how we got started and where we started and where we're at now. I mean, it's exciting. Where we're headed, absolutely. There's bigger things headed for our group. I can feel it. I can feel there's things in my head that I'm thinking about. It's like, you know, how do we expand this? How do we get this out to men? Because men need this. Men need men. Iron sharpens iron, right? I don't think there's enough men's group out there where men can just show up and share their story or just sit there and listen or just to be seen, right? It's needed. It's sorely needed for men. And like I said, if you're a man and you need something, reach out to us, let us know how we can help you. So, thank you for listening out there in Radio Land. We love you. And thank you for listening. Yeah. Till next time.
All right.
Thank
you. God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.